starting last Thursday, was a super amazing, I don't know, 9 days, 10 days, you'd have to do the math, you know I can't. And I'm trying to get to my notes here. Graduation on Thursday, mission symposium on Friday, state meeting on Saturday, graduation party on Saturday, ordination on Sunday, stomach flu on Monday, Monday IV fluids, Tuesday Tony taking him back, Wednesday Awana closing program, Thursday bad, Friday recovery, Saturday full day. That was just kind of a rundown of since last Thursday for me. And again, I've already shared with you how God brought me through all that, praise God. And I want to say just the deepest heartfelt thank you to everybody here. You know, one of the advantages of a 24-year experience is you kind of know me, I kind of know you. And even though this is going to sound wrong, I know what I can get away with. You know what to expect and things of that nature. And it is extremely a blessing to know that you guys understand that if something may seem wrong, you go ahead and give me the benefit of the doubt. Robert Fogg saw me hit that door and leave, and he thought, well, he don't want to talk to me this Sunday. And praise God, he relied upon the reality. Something's up that I don't really know. And so I was able to tell him this week, no, I was avoiding you for your sake so that you don't get the stomach flu and such of that nature. If you ever see me acting in a way that's not consistent, please give me the benefit of the doubt. I will do the same for you, okay? Now, with that said, thank you for all of you that made the ordination. Thank you for all those that would have had time allowed. Thank you for praying for the ordination. That place was packed. Landmark DeSoto was packed. Some 90 folks. I got tickled. Brian, my nephew, he said, I know you're not supposed to count, but I just had to. So he went around and counted, had some 25, 30 presbytery, that means ordained brethren, and so it was just tremendous. Dad got to do the questioning, which is always fun. Brother Mike Hurst did the message, the charge. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that and through the message, but it just couldn't have gone better. The Lord richly, richly blessed. Now, I shared with you guys in passing last Sunday, whoever's the questionnaire, pray that they don't see this as an opportunity to trip Benjamin up, but just let's just see what he knows. So that was taken care of with them asking me to do the questions, and it ended up, I did trip him up, and I wasn't even trying. But he showed, what would the word be? He showed skill in the area of our doctrine, and in my humble opinion, that's the most important thing. And so I've always shared with you, if God takes you to another church, then one of the first questions needs to be, can you show me a doctrinal statement? And if the preacher takes more than 5 minutes finding it, you might want to think about looking somewhere else type thing, because that is what is important. What do they believe about what Jesus teaches? Because that's what they're supposed to teach you, is what Jesus teaches. That's according to Matthew 28, 18 and following. So now we have today a message very, very akin to what Brother Mike talked about in his charge. Brother Mike charged two things, and then he just basically built on those two things. Number one, you must do what you can do. You and I must do what we can do. Number two, we cannot do what must be done. And both things are shown right here in this message. We're talking about sharing our faith. We must do what we can do. We can share our faith. We must do that. We must share our faith to our neighbors. We must share our faith to our workers. We must share our faith to our family. We must share our faith in Sunday school. We must share our faith in CR. We must share our faith in our worship services. Fill in the blank. We must. We can do that. We must do that. We can pray that God will take that proclamation and use it to the furtherance of the gospel in each person's life that hears it. Those are the things that we can do, and we must do them. But we cannot do what must be done. Well, what is that? You see, there's man's side and there's God's side. The Bible says that no man can come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit draws him. We cannot do what must be done. Now, this is where I part from a lot of folks, and that's okay. I believe the Holy Spirit always does His job. I believe the Holy Spirit does His job to every man, woman, boy, and girl. I believe that God is not up there in heaven going, man, that's golly gee whiz, I just don't know. Man, these poor lost people. No, He's not thinking that. In fact, He's thinking, all I need is my children to open their mouth to do their part. I'll do my part every time. I believe that. I believe it. That's why I believe in programs. That's why I believe in Awana. That's why I believe in Sunday school. That's why I believe in CR. Again, fill in the blank. Because it's giving us opportunities to proclaim. It's giving us opportunity to do what we can do. And then God does what He must do, which is to draw. Let's stand. Luke chapter 15. Then drew near unto Him. Let me make sure I'm in the right spot. Luke chapter 15. Yes, here we are. Here we go. Sorry. I had a first service flashback, okay? And I was like, that's not right. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise shall joy be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And isn't this interesting? Can you think of anybody that doesn't need repentance? No. Look at verse 8. I think that was a shot that Jesus was shooting across the bow of the and I doubt they even caught it. Look at verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You probably can't fill a couple of you probably can fill a couple of volumes what those few words just described. This man lived it up. He absolutely partied hard. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now remember Adrian Rogers' words, you can choose your choices. You cannot choose your consequences. You can choose your choices. Can't choose your consequences. Look at verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into fields to feed swine. And I guarantee you, when Jesus said that, all of those Jewish people did an audible gasp. Because that was seen as the worst, the lowest thing that you could do. Look at 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And then he starts rehearsing. I will arise. I'll go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. And folks, you know it's serious when you're rehearsing what you're going to say. I'll go to my father. I got to find it again. And I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He was looking. And he had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. And he didn't get to finish his rehearsal until the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, this older brother was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, Now, you got to catch something. The father wasn't just watching for one son. The father was watching for both sons. He was watching for the son to come in from sin, and he was watching to see if the other son would come in and rejoice. And he answered, said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, the father said, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I don't know how familiar this passage is to you. If this passage is extremely familiar to you, I'm asking you to ask God to make it fresh again. If it is fresh today, I'm asking you to ask God to help you to get every drip of honey out of this passage that we can. And yes, this is a passage about soul winning. Yes, it is a passage about being passionate for souls. First, we have the first act, a homecoming to remember. Act number one, the obedient soul winner. So these are those first two stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin. The action of the soul winner, that's that first blank. Church, we must do what we can do. And I'm telling you right now, we can and must go. We must go. Now, for years, I told you, if they walk through those doors, we're obligated to love them. Well, we've added to that, and we're obligated to leave those doors and go lovingly grab them and bring them in. We must do what we can do. The action of the soul winner diligently goes after that which is lost. I'm not trying to be anything but real. Is your heart hurting for at least one name that you know that if God doesn't call them to repentance, they're going to spend their eternity in a place of punishment? I'm begging you to ask God to break your heart for them. B, the attitude of the soul winner. When someone comes to Christ, there ought to be rejoicing. You see, that father knew that that son should be busting through that door to hug his brother. When you and I can't get excited about people coming to Christ, we've got a love problem going on. And I'm not talking about a love problem with the lost person. I'm talking about a love problem with the person that shed his blood on the cross for that lost person. We ought to love who and what Jesus loves. When I came back to you, when God brought me back, I put that on the desk. Help me to love who and what you love. God will answer that prayer when we ask it. See, the altitude of praise. It's not just you and I should be tearing up stuff, and figuratively speaking, praising God for someone coming to Christ. There's rejoicing going on in heaven. And for years, we would say it was the angels. When you really read that passage, it's not, quote, unquote, just the angels. It's in the presence of the angels. Jesus is having a hallelujah hoedown right there. And folks, you all think you can dance? You ain't seen nothing. Yeah, you ain't seen nothing. Jesus can cut a rug when someone comes to Christ. Every person in here knows what it is to have a fulfillment of a thing. Years ago, Brad and I talked about seeing a lawn that finally comes together after all the work is done. You know the satisfaction. Can you imagine Jesus? What he went through seeing you and I and others come to Christ. Point number two, the lost soul. The declaration of the lost soul we have here in verse 12. Father, I know our customs, I know what is right, and even though I am supposed to wait till you die, I don't have to. And so I am asking for you to make it as if you were already dead and give me my cut. That's what he said. Church, please hear me. I'm not laying this at the feet of lost people that they're doing this knowingly, because the Bible says that their eyes are blinded by the god of this world. But every lost person that says, yeah, thanks but no thanks, but boy, give me those, give me that ocean front. Give me those mountains of Colorado. Give me those snow-covered hills. Give me those mountain streams. Give me those woods full of deer. Fill in the blank. Every person that consumes this creation is saying the same thing to the Creator. I know how it's supposed to work, but as far as I'm concerned, I'd just soon you be dead, and I want to enjoy what you made for me without you. Now, we would never say that with our mouth, but the lost of this world are saying that with their actions. They're lost. We should not be shocked and amazed at how they act. We should be brought to compassion, and we should be brought to action. The declaration of the lost soul. Look at the debauchery of the lost soul. It wasn't long before he had spent all that he had on riotous living. And yes, adults, let your mind go there. This guy did it all. He did it all. And he wasted, who knows, probably the equivalent of hundreds of thousands of dollars. He spent it all on riotous living. The pleasures of sin last but for a season. The debauchery of the lost soul. He forfeited his responsibility. He selfishly gathered his father's fortune. He lived it up. And he lost it on riotous living. You can choose your choices. You cannot choose your consequences. And then see the discoveries of the lost soul. Church, life and its circumstances are in someone else's control. God's. And even though we don't want to see, including ourselves, we don't want to see anyone go through consequential, circumstantial results. The reality is that if you and I make poor choices, we're going to. And when you and I, as Christians, trying to live for the Lord, trying to walk that straight and narrow path, when we see that coming, it's almost a time of excitement from the standpoint of, Lord, please use this. Please use this. And if you're here today and you're going through circumstantial consequences, please know, watch this, you can decide where your bottom is. I'm not going any lower. This is it. By God's grace, I'm not going any lower. And then you can start going up for God's glory. This young man did this. The discoveries of the lost soul. The timing usually has a point to it. It just so happened that when he had spent all his money, famine throughout all the land. Everybody's starving. And this guy doesn't have any money to buy anything. Circumstances can teach us lessons that we ignored earlier. I always go back. Brother Gavin may or may not remember this, but back in the day, freshly after his mom had passed, he was already going through everything that brings. And then he started having health issues. And back in the day, Gavin, what did they even call that? A Palm Pilot? Palm Pilot. Gavin had a Palm Pilot. He had some 18 lessons that God had taught him through that season. One of those lessons was the things that you and I hold on to when the trials and tribulations start. They're pretty easy to let go of. Oh, you know, during the stomach flu, I could pass up a lot of stuff. Yeah, because I was going through it. And you can drop things pretty easily when the trials and tribulations. And this young man, he had a come to Jesus moment. Oh my goodness, I'm starving to death. How many of my servants, the servants of my father's house, have more to eat than I? Our efforts to fix our predicaments usually make things worse. Feeding swine, you can't imagine the repulsiveness this sent through the crowd. His need, brought about by his sin, made him destitute. No man gave unto him. His only hope was the very person he offended most, his father. Our lost world, they love to deny the existence of God. But their only hope for a climate-controlled eternity is that very God. And we, again, that's never meant to be a nanny-nanny boo-boo thing. We beg and want God to help them to come to that understanding. And we ought to be willing to be one of those vessels to help them do that. Life's circumstances at all times, bless you, should direct us to our Heavenly Father. Yes, her microphone's still on. It's okay. She told him to turn it on. He embraced true repentance. What is true repentance? True repentance is you're going this way, and this way is sin and wrong and hate. Fill in the blank. You are going the wrong way, and then you have your aha moment. You have your feeding the swine moment, and you go, no, I'm not going any farther. This is my bottom. I could go further. I'm not doing it. I am changing my mind, and God will bless that every time. D, wait. He was humble. He was willing to accept a lower status. You know, I can't ever remember it, and it makes me mad because it's a really good saying, but there's a saying out there that I'd rather be a doorman at the house of God than something in devil's palace or something. That's humble. That's humble. Church, when we get a really good dose of what God has done for us, there ain't any task too low for us. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. The determination of the lost soul. Verse 20, 21. He arose. He followed through. He did not ignore the lessons this time. The delight of the Father. The Father was watching. And guys, listen, I know. Some of us, you know, and honestly, anymore, I shared this at the start of first service last week, so I apologize. This is important. The number one book that this ministry gives out right now is When Life Is Changed Forever by Losing Someone Near. The second book, meaning it's the second highest book that we give out, is Reaching My Prodigal, Reaching Your Prodigal. If you have someone in your family that used to be, quote unquote, living for the Lord, and now they have left for whatever reason, you need this book. I've got copies at my office. I will put it in your hand. It's no cost to you. God has used this book, will use this book to help you. With that said, look here. The Father was watching. You and I cannot lose hope. God is the eternal optimist. He's not giving up. Church, as long as we're breathing, you've seen me do this before. As long as we're breathing, there's hope. There's absolute hope. The Father was watching. The Father was forgiving and restored him to sonship and fellowship. The Father rejoiced. I dare say the Father cut a rug too. You will find no different response from your Heavenly Father. Now, I can't speak for you, but almost every day is a prodigal experience for Pastor Ben if I'm not careful. Every day I start down a path. Every time I say, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. You know what he does? He forgives me. Keep short accounts with God. The Father was forgiving and restored him to sonship. He rejoiced. You will find no... I just said all that. Number three, the disobedient soul winner. Now, this is the brother. The attitude of the disobedient soul winner. He was furious. I'm just telling you the truth, and we've already hit on it. One of the reasons that I knew I was not where I needed to be with God in college was because they had started an EE program, Evangelism Explosion. This is 30-plus years ago at Eastside Baptist Church. Eastside Baptist Church was dying. And Eastside Baptist Church started a soul-winning program And they started growing. They started living. And there was a team at Eastside that was full of college students. And they started going out every, well, once a week. I think it was Tuesday or something. And they would come back rejoicing. Somebody would get saved almost every week. And I remember sitting in the girls' dorm, because that's where you stayed out if you were a guy. You stayed at, yeah. It's okay to laugh at that. Yeah, when you're ugly, you got to stay close to where the, you know, opportunities are. And so, you know, I was just hoping to find someone as desperate as I was. And praise God, I didn't find that person. Young people, that's the wrong approach. Don't find someone as desperate as you are. Get satisfied in Jesus. God will bring you somebody. Can I get a witness, adults? Amen. Amen. Now, here we go. And when that team came in, somebody once again had gotten saved. They were all sorts of excited. And everybody there was excited. And, of course, I faked it. I walked out. And I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? And he was very clear. I've already shared it with you. If you don't love who God loves, there's a problem. And God worked on me with that. You know, one of the biggest fixes of that is getting around somebody that's ate up with sharing the gospel. John Smith was the guy that God used to help me with that situation. The attitude of the disobedient soul winner. The attention of the disobedient soul winner was on himself, and that was my problem. My attention was on myself. He stressed his service and loyalty. He whined of there being no party for him. The focus of the disobedient soul winner. He cared more for the lost money than he did for the found son. The redirection of the Father. Aren't you glad that the Father didn't say, well, you have absolutely disappointed me and you are dead to me? No. You see, he was seeking to win this son just as he was seeking to win the other son. All that I have is thine. Church, please do not look out and see, and we're going to say the name. I am not assuming he's lost, okay? We're using this as an illustration. We look and see what Bill Gates has. We look and see what Jeff Bezos has. And if we're not careful, we go, well, Lord, I'm your child. How come I can't have some of that? And you know what your Heavenly Father looks at you and says? You have it all. You can't hold the deed yet. You have it all. Church, irregardless of what your end times, viewpoint is, sooner or later, we run this joint. Sooner or later. If you know Jesus, you have it all. The brother revealed his true struggle with selfishness. It was meet, fitting, and appropriate for this party to be thrown. He was lost and is found. So, I don't know. You may prefer this type of preaching. I don't know. But we're just about done. But notice, if you would, in your notes, which one are you? Committal prayer for the soul winner. Father, thank you for saving me and using me in your service. Please make me mindful of your commissioning and your empowering to carry out that commission for the saving of the lost in my world. Amen. Church, we've got to do what we can do. We've got to proclaim the gospel to our neighbors. We've got to proclaim the gospel to our workmates. We've got to proclaim the gospel to our family. We can do that, and we must do it. Amen, church? We must do it. Committal prayer for the lost soul. Dear Father, and if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm begging you in your heart to pray this with me. I have sinned against you with my thoughts, actions, and deeds. I know I deserve eternal punishment for these sins. I also know your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sins so I could have a son-daughter relationship with you. Please forgive me and restore me to a right relationship with you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I would love to talk to you after the service. Committal prayer of the disobedient soul winner. Forgive me, Father, of my selfishness, of taking advantage of the new life you gave me. You set me free so I could be a part of setting others free. Therefore, I'm asking for your empowerment to do just that. Make me an obedient soul winner. I've said this many, many times. If you'll ask God to break your heart for lost souls, he'll do it. Let's all stand, musicians. Will you come? All hearts clear. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I'm inviting you to come. I'll send you someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Maybe you just want to turn this into an old-fashioned altar. Ask God to help our family as a church family. Ask God for our nation. You watch the news. You keep up with things. You know what's going on. Let's beg God to bring a revival in this nation.